Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Zhu et al. Titled, PDE5 Activity Exerts a Coronary Vasoconstrictor Influence in Awake Swine that is mediated in part via an increase in endothelin production. This article published online January 24, 2014. My guests today are Associate Editor Fabio Recchia, Lead Author Dirk Dunker, and Expert Gerd Heusch. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. A coronary blood flow is finely tuned by a wealth of mechanisms aimed at preserving a tight match between myocardial oxygen demand and oxygen supply. Considered singularly, many of these control mechanisms and the related mediators are presently well defined. For instance, it has been known since the early 90s that the gas nitric oxide induces coronary dilation through increased intracellular production of cyclic GMP, whereas the peptide endothelin is a potent coronary vasoconstrictor. What still remains much less understood is the complex integration between vasodilator and vasoconstrictor mechanisms. One of the open questions is the relative contribution of phosphodiesterase 5-mediated cyclic GMP breakdown and endothelins in determining coronary vessel tone. By using an elegant in vivo model of chronically instrumented pigs, in which coronary blood flow and myocardial oxygen consumption could be measured while animals were exercising on a treadmill, complemented by ex vivo experiments in isolated coronary small arteries, Dirk Dunker's group found that the phosphodiesterase 5 activity exerts a vasoconstrictor influence on coronary vessels that is mediated in part by an increased endothelial production of endothelin. Dirk, what are the key physiological implications of your findings?
Well, I think that the present study shows that not only vasodilator mechanisms interact and regulate coronary blood flow in an integrated manner, for example, compensating for one another when a vasodilator system fails, but also that vasoconstrictor mechanisms interact, which we found in the present study to occur in a facilitating manner so that PDE5 activity actually enhanced the endothelin vasoconstrictor influence. I think these findings illustrate that the highly complex integration of mechanisms by which coronary resistance vessel tone and hence coronary blood flow is regulated under physiological conditions. But these findings also suggest that under pathological conditions where nitric oxide cyclic GMP signaling is perturbed as an endothelial dysfunction, the vasoconstrictor influence of endothelin will be enhanced.
Thank you, Dirk. So, Gerd, what are your comments on these interesting findings?
Thank you, Fabio. I was actually intrigued by the almost paradigmatic character of this particular study by Dirk Dunker and his group, in the sense that it utilizes an extremely complex and integrative large animal model, and not only at rest, but a conscious model during exercise. So a very physiological scenario in a highly complex model organism. And then still it was able to dissect very minute mechanistic detail in the control of coronary blood flow. This I find intriguing, that even nowadays where many experimental approaches are very reductionist, this is almost the contrary example, where it shows that even in a very complex physiological setting, such as a large animal in a conscious state and even exercising, you can dissect minute interactions between control mechanisms. In particular, I was intrigued that Dirk Dunker's group was able to uncover vasodilator and vasoconstrictor mechanisms in the control of coronary blood flow, which are normally, at first glance, overwhelmed by metabolic control of coronary blood flow. He was able, in a very careful approach, to consider for the metabolic components that usually govern coronary blood flow and still uncover the vasodilator influences of the NO-mediated signal transduction as opposed to the endothelin-induced vasoconstriction. So in these two respects, the integrative character of the study on the one hand And on the other hand, the careful consideration for metabolic control of coronary blood flow, this study is really a very good example of thorough physiology.
Thank you, Gerd. Very, very good points, very well taken, and I agree with them completely. So, Dirk, there is the common criticism about these studies, though, is that you are essentially evaluating various aspects in vivo, but you are using pharmacological tools to dissect mechanisms. And in many instances, these pharmacological agents are not considered fully selective, so they are susceptible of side effects that would confound the results. How would you comment on this?
I think in general, when you are, performing pharmacological studies, an inherent limitation is always selectivity. And I tell my PhD students that selectivity of any drug is a temporary luxury, because as time passes by, we will discover that these compounds may also have other effects. For example, the drugs that we've used in this particular study, I think have been very well characterized by the companies that have developed these compounds. That goes both for the compound from Merck and Darmstadt, the EMD compound, the PDE5 inhibitor, and tisosantan. So I think that using the tools that we have used, I think I'm very confident that we have studied the mechanisms that we wanted to study. But the point is well taken. One can never be 100% sure that there may also be what's called off-target effects of these drugs.
Gerd, any further comments on the approach, the methodological approach?
After I've emphasized in my first comment that I was intrigued by the integrative character of this study using a large animal model during exercise, let me still ask Dirk now, how close indeed is the exercising animal to a potentially exercising human in terms of control mechanisms of coronary blood flow under physiological and pathophysiological circumstances? And in consequence, how much of the drugs that he used would be applicable to a human who has, let's say, exercise-induced myocardial ischemia?
I think this is an excellent point, and I think, Gert, your question it consists actually of two parts, and that is one is species differences, and the other is the difference between a healthy animal under physiological conditions in comparison to a pathophysiological condition. So to compare a healthy pig to a diseased human coronary circulation is quite a distance to bridge. But let me first say that I realize that there are clear-cut species differences. For example, pigs notoriously lack, as you have shown with Rainer Schultz, I think more than 20 years ago, that they lack alpha-adrenergic receptors in the coronary microcirculation, as opposed to dogs, and I also believe as opposed to humans. And it may be for that particular reason that PDE5 and endothelin have such a pronounced vasoconstrictor influence in the coronary microcirculation. But if you review the literature, I do believe that PDE5 and endothelin have vasoconstrictor influences also in dogs and also in humans. So I think these two particular vasoconstrictor mechanisms, I think the results that we found in the pigs can be applicable to a healthy human when they're exercising. But the proof of this is, of course, by actually studying humans under these conditions, which these days is for clear reasons ethically not possible. With respect to translating the healthy pig heart findings to the pathology, that is also something that has to be investigated. It's of interest to note that we have performed studies in pigs with a chronic coronary artery stenosis and did find that under these conditions, particularly the response to endothelin was enhanced. And although we could not find that the vasodilator response to bradykinin was blunted, we did find evidence of an increased vasoconstrictor influence of endothelin distal to the stenosis, suggesting that these mechanisms, PDE5 and endothelin, may actually be enhanced under pathological conditions.
Gerd, any further comments?
If I may, I would reiterate something that Dirk said. It may very well be that some humans, particularly under disease states such as coronary artery disease, behave more like dogs and have more alpha adrenergic control and constrictor mechanisms, whereas others behave more like pigs, not in terms of their behavior, but also in their coronary blood flow control, and have a predominance of endothelin vasoconstriction. So I think it's very, very valuable to notice the potential species differences, but then use both of these large mammal species if we want to mimic a clinical scenario.
I could not agree more, Gert. I think this is what I always teach the students. It's not which one is better. Are the dogs better or the pigs better? I said, it depends on the situation. And I think we can learn a tremendous amount from doing comparative physiology. And I think you're absolutely right. It's the same with the collateral circulation, where dogs with innate collateral circulation mimic a certain subgroup of patients, whereas pigs, of course, are an excellent model for those patients that lack collateral circulation. So I couldn't agree more with what you're saying.
Thank you, Dirk. Thank you, Gerd, for this insightful and intriguing scientific discussion. Karen?
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.